Today's topic, preaching. How many of you are preachers? Raise your hands. How many are preaching? No, come on. Huh? Yes, trying. Trying means preaching. Come on. Admit it. You're all preachers. Come on. Don't be like this. We're all preachers. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agai guru hona tare edesh. That is Mahaprabhu's instruction to us. Tell everyone you meet something about Krishna, right? And in this way, amar agai guru, you'll be guru, you become guru. You act as guru, you be a guru. So, I am like you, I'm also shy, very shy. So, I don't think of myself as a preacher or anything, but this is the instruction. And we must try to follow that. If we are to be successful in our own progress in Krishna consciousness, it is one of the most essential tenets for us, one of the most essential precepts for us. Try to tell others, try to tell something to others about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And although this instruction is there, something very funny happened with Nityananda Prabhu. All you know this story, but Govinda Maharaj tells it in a sort of a funny way that Mahaprabhu wanted to send Nityananda Prabhu. Every year the devotees were coming to Jagannath Puri to visit Mahaprabhu during his stay there. And Mahaprabhu was always very happy to see all the residents of Navadvip coming, and these are all his friends and associates and so forth, and he's very happy with this. And Nityananda Prabhu, it was not a good Puri. Jagannath Puri was not a good place for Nityananda Prabhu. And the reason this came up is Govinda Maharaj was telling us that something about himself, and can't recall right now the question, but he was talking about his tendency. First of all, he said that his tendency is to encourage everyone. That's what he was talking about. Actually, I think I had asked him a question about some individual that maybe I was having a little difficulty dealing with or something. And he said that his tendency was to encourage everyone. So, now I remember what it was. But his tendency was to encourage everyone. So he said, I do not want to decrease their enthusiasm. So the meaning is, I want everyone to be enthusiastic, and I want to encourage everyone. And if they are not doing perfectly, still I want to encourage them to do something. And that is good advice for all of us. We are very, like me, shy to do anything, thinking it will not be proper, it will not be right. I have a friend who has been associated with, in a sort of distant way, with Krishna consciousness, I think longer than any of us, maybe 40 years or more, and has never taken initiation. And when asked why, not to say any name, when asked why, his reason is because he is not qualified. Well, but tomorrow you'll be qualified? No, that tomorrow never comes. Never, he's never thinking himself qualified. That's his reason for not taking initiation. As if to say, first I will become a pure devotee, and then I will start the process to become a pure devotee. But that is not logical, right? It's an unreasonable idea. No, it is not like that. Preaching is also not like that. First we start preaching, then we become qualified as preachers. So we don't wait till I'm waiting for that perfect day when I've read all of the Bhagavatam and all the Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the Bhagavad Gita and all the books of Guru Maharaj and Guru Dev. And after I've read them and digested them all, and they're all, I know all the verses and all the important points, then I'll start my preaching life. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. Today, do whatever you can do. Try to help someone. This world is full of miserable people, and all of us were one of them at one time, most likely. Not to cast any aspersions on anyone. But that is generally the way it is. We take birth in this world, and if Sanatan Goswami can say it, Kayami, Kenayamai, Jaratape Tri, well, I am always suffering from the threefold miseries of material life, and any one of us will make the claim, no, not me. I have no one can help me. I'm already very nicely situated. I don't think so. Right? So, but people may not like to recognize it about themselves, that they are suffering and they cannot stop their suffering. So sometimes it is our duty, if we see someone is about to walk in front of a bus and get run over, it's our duty to try and grab them. Oh, you don't see this bus is coming. Stop, right? Pull them back, save them from that. That is what it means to be a preacher. Right? Everyone is walking in front of death. Death is right looking over their shoulder, about to capture them. We don't know when, but at some point, surely it will happen. Then the cycle will go again, birth, death, old age, disease, birth, death, da-da-da, right? Do we want that for anyone? I think not. So our job, and will they be happy if we grab them? Oh, why didn't you let me get hit by the bus? Will they accuse us? I don't think so. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for, you saved my life. So if they're completely mad with illusion, then they might say, oh, why did you grab my arm? Yeah, you know. That happens sometimes. But mostly, they will be grateful. And so those who we approach in some form or other, you're going, many of you on a preaching program, you'll do Harinam, and you will meet many nice people and so forth. Then the idea is somehow try to give them some consciousness about Mahaprabhu, about Krishna. So I started to tell you that Govinda Maharaj, he was saying that this is his nature, is to encourage everyone, to promote enthusiasm. And he said, it may not be good for our society, but it is good for the individual. No, this is a problem. Because everyone is running off in different directions with their own idea, their own way, and so forth. We want to encourage everyone, but encouraging everyone means that sometimes that will not be so helpful for the society. Society means some organization. There's not chaos. We have to have some central office, and out of that office, we can go for, get some direction. What should I do today? What needs to be done? Everyone doesn't know what needs to be done. Someone knows. We have to ask that person, what's the best thing for me to do today? Something like that. But at any rate, not all of us are living in a mot. Not all of us are working under some central guiding authority like that, president or mot commander or something. Govinda Maharaj is encouraging all of us, whether you're in one position or the other, is encouraging us to do something. Try to preach Krishna consciousness. Try to spread Krishna consciousness. Do something. Build something. Make something. Tell someone like this. Bring them to our mission. Something like that. So he said, and Govinda Maharaj's excuse was, kind of giving the reason why he is like this, that it is maybe producing a little chaos for the society. He says, because I am from Radhadesh. He said, Radhadesh is under the influence of Nityananda Prabhu. And when we went to Bamanpara, Acharya Maharaj was telling us some of the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu there, right in that area where Gurudev was manifested, showed his appearance in this world. And so he was giving this excuse that, oh, Nityananda Prabhu, he is a little crazy. I am a little crazy. Why? Oh, because Nityananda has some influence there in that sector where I appeared, where I lived as a child. And so maybe his influence, he had some influence over me. I became a little crazy like him. So I don't care for, indirectly, I don't care for society. But what is good for the individual? I'm trying to encourage that. So that's not very good. So then he told this short story about why he's saying Nityananda is like that, and he is like Nityananda. Oh, so Mahaprabhu ousted him from Puri. He didn't ask him to leave. He made some excuse. Oh, you will be good if you go and preach in Bengal. You know, you go there and preach. That'll be very good. The residents of that area, Navadweep, etc., they're coming here every year. But I'm staying here in Puri, and this is my desh, my province where I'm preaching. You go, Nityananda, you go there and preach in Bengal. But so that's what he told Nityananda, but underneath, behind that, the reason, get him out of here. He's making a massacre of everything here. So go to Bengal. They're all also like you. So not to worry. You won't have any problem there. There are many like you in Bengal. So Nityananda says, oh, very good. My master is sending me to Bengal. I'll go there. And what does he do in Bengal? Do you follow the instruction? This instruction? Yari deke tari kaha? Krishna upadesh? No, did not. No. He did what the last thing Mahaprabhu wanted him to do. Instead of telling everyone, chant the name of Krishna, he told you, chant the name of Gaur Hari, Mahaprabhu. Chant the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is my master. If you chant his name, I will become your servant. You will be happy. I am feeling ecstasy hearing you chant the name of my master, Gaur Mahaprabhu. So if you chant, you'll also become like me. Very good certificate. I'll become a madman like you. Well, okay. At least he's a happy madman. So this was the idea. So Govinda Maharaj also said at another time, we're all a little crazy. So anyone who joins this mission must have some craziness, but we are leaving that life that we had before, whatever it was, but that structured life, that life which Krishna said about himself when he was trying to make some excuse to Rukmini, oh, better you find someone else for your husband. I am not a very good husband. Well, why is that? I am not interested in pursuing the goals of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These things don't interest me. But these are the real goals of human life. You should find someone who is more suitable, you know, who is a proper husband and who is interested in these things. And that will be good for you. So he's like saying, I'm not qualified. You are very qualified, Rukmini Devi. I'm not qualified. These are the qualifications. So before coming to Krishna consciousness, this is our interest, the interest of society, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. This is, everyone is pursuing these things, hopefully, to some extent or another, hopefully, because some dharma, some organized religious practices must be there for the maintenance of society, the orderly running of society. So we were involved in that, and we heard something from someone, some friend, who were like, I am telling you all to be that kind of friend. Someone was a friend to you and said, told you something about Gurudev, something about Guru Maharaj, something about Krishna, something about Mahaprabhu, etc. So there was some film about something like pass it on. You do some good comes to you, you pass that on to someone. Well, that's our idea also, like that. Some good thing came to me. I want to pass that on to someone. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was very insistent that this is the best means for making progress ourselves. So it is not only with the idea of giving relief, helping others to find relief from the mundane environment and to make progress in the same line that we're moving, but if you have any interest for your own well-being, for your own good, then you must do this. And then why? Because the Yuga Dharma, what we are supposed to do is chant the holy names of Krishna. That's the instruction. Through the processes of Sankirtan, with others, right? And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said that preaching and telling others about Krishna consciousness is non-different from Sankirtan. It's the same thing, non-different. So, and why it's very good, when we are chanting, we may not be thinking so much. We may chant the holy name that is going from our mouth and going in the ear, but we may not be so much concentrating on that. But when we are charged with the responsibility to represent our conception, our philosophy, our doctrines, our beliefs to someone else, and take responsibility, why I've accepted this line that I am following, then when trying to represent that to someone else, then we must be very keenly aware of that responsibility. I want to present it properly, nicely, so that they will, just as I've appreciated, they will come to appreciate the same thing. So that is a form of meditation. And again, Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, it is the highest form. It is the best form of meditation. Because in a very concentrated way, we are trying to represent this idea, our idea, to someone else and persuade them that this is the best. So become a guru, teach others. And this idea also frightened me. Become guru. No, I have a guru, but I'm a student. I'm a disciple. I'm not like that. So you may look at that from different points of view, but if you do that, you will be guru. Do you think that our guru will be displeased? That he is our guru, but he has made many other gurus, he will be displeased with that, or he will be happy? Anyway, I haven't heard anything directly, but I think he will be happy. And I know my initiating guru, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he said that's what he wanted of his disciples, that they all become gurus. And in this way, that you instruct others about the science, about the idea, the concept, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and that is also the instruction of Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita, that who is in a lower position, there are different levels, different adhikaris, Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam, Uttama Adhikari, the beginner, the newcomer, the middle stage, the highest stage. So those who are a little junior or who are a little below or a lot below, you help them, try to help them, give them some idea how they can make progress, how they can find the answers to the questions, like, why are we, if there is a God, why are we suffering, right? This was Shama Sundar's, one of his questions. He says when he grew up as a Christian but became an atheist. Why? Because he couldn't understand. If there is a God, why is there suffering? Why, it must be no God, because if there was a God, then he would not want this for anyone. So, forget that. So, we must become an instructor to others in that sense, to try and help them. Everyone has these questions. And those who are of different religious denominations and they have some concept of God, they are all deficient. Sorry, folks, you're all deficient. All of those conceptions, they have deficiencies. And this conception, it has no deficiency. Then why not? If there is some deficiency, it is okay that you follow something that is giving some help. But if something will give more help, then shouldn't you think, oh, if something can help me further, then why not accept that? It is not an unfair criticism. What I'm saying is a criticism, but it's not an unfair criticism, and it's not meant to be cruel. It's not cruel. There's kindergarten, there's first grade, there's second, third, fourth, high school, so, etc. It's not out of place to recognize that someone is in one of those grades, right? If someone is in if you're a professor and you recognize that someone is in a lower standard of knowledge, learning, education than yourself, it's not wrong to recognize that and try to help that person come to a higher level. So our idea is something like that. So that's the introduction. Now the floor is open for questions. Does anyone have any question they would like to ask?
Can you prove there's a God?
I can. Do you want to prove?
Please.
There we go again. And what are you willing to give?
Whatever you want. We got some rupees.
What are you willing? I can prove to you that God is existing. No doubt. I have not the least doubt. I can prove. Are you willing to pay the price? It is costly.
Death?
Are you willing to pay the price?
Die?
Huh?
Must I die?
It is a heavy price. Are you willing to give what it takes? Do you want to see the proof?
Yes.
How much do you want it? Yes, easily we can prove. This question is like asking, can you show me the atom? Every class, you know, in science from our childhood, the teacher is talking about atoms, molecules, electrons, protons, neutrons, very tiny things, right? And they are speaking about these things as the essential particles of matter. These are the things which make matter, right? Which everything is created that we know is created by these things. Okay, very good. Now, your question, is like the question that we can ask them. Then show me an electron. Can you show me? Where is one? What?
I think they can see. No. Electron microscopes.
They cannot. Maybe they can see an atom. But where? Here's a microscope. Show me an atom. Can you show? No. Because they can, if they can, I think there is something called an electron microscope, which can show particles down to the size of an atom. But where are those electron microscopes? A few universities, you know, in their research laboratories, a few around the world. Not every university, not every laboratory has such a very expensive microscope, which is costly to maintain, which has highly trained personnel to use it and so forth, right? So I can say, oh, you can't show me the atom, then I don't believe it. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with saying that. And the response then of the teacher will be what? What
Fool.
Do you think? Huh?
Fool.
No. I don't think so. Assuming it's not that, then what?
Entitled to your opinion?
Isn't it what I said? I can show you. But first you have to take some classes in college level physics. And when you get to that point, then you'll be qualified to use this type of microscope for your research. And who has training, he can show you. And when you get to that level, then you can see that. Something like that. That some answer like that they might give. A reasonable answer. Right? So our answer also is like that. It's not unreasonable that everyone, because someone cannot see something, there are two possibilities. The thing does not exist, or the seer is not qualified to see. Right? Any other possibility? I can only think of two. Either the thing doesn't exist, therefore we cannot see it, or we are not qualified to see it. So, to see God, to believe, to have the proof of God's existence, that proof is available to anyone, everyone, and we are calling everyone, come see. But now you're coming, now you have to become qualified. And what is the qualification? Trinadapi, Sunichina, Turorapi, Sahishnuna, Manina, Manadeva, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. Everyone come and see God. First do these things, then what you want, we will show you. Will you do it? Will you follow this practice, Trinadapi, Sunichena, Tarotapi, Sahishnina? Will you do that with us? Will you come and study with us until you have come to such a point of education and qualification that you can see God? Will you do that? If you will do that, I will show you. What's your answer?
Yes.
All right, Gaur Hari Bol. Yes. Yes. When I send my emails, I have some. By day here. Still, you've not done that, right? Huh? Okay, then we'll trade. I will show you that, and you show me Final Cut Pro. But you show me Final Cut Pro first, because I don't trust you. Not no, not that I don't trust you, but I know you're very busy, and you may get distracted. So anyway, so one of these signatures that comes automatically at the end of my email is Giri Maharaj, and then something. And this something she's asking about is matter and Maya cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Okay, so this is just my manufactured expression, which is, you know, very similar to the physics expression that matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. You can't have two mrdungas here in the same space at the same time. You have side by side, one on top, one below, but they can't both be in the same place at the same time. Right? Huh? No, no, it's, yeah, this is the Geary line of thinking. but it occurred to me after another one of my expressions, which I think you're familiar with, which is you can have matter or you can have Maya, but not both. So it's a similar idea. Right? What is meant by that? What is matter and what is Maya? Who will say what is matter?
I thought they were the same. I mean, it says in the Mahabharata that misery is at the root of attachment for matter. Right?
What? So, misery?
Yeah, or suffering.
Is
at the root of suffering is the attachment for matter.
Okay, but what is matter?
And isn't that Maya? Because you're talking about matter, like they were younger.
But what is matter?
Matter is Maya.
Is it? Matter? Matter is, go ahead, say it again. And the basic ingredient for this creation? Uh-huh, okay. Anyone else?
I guess matter and illusion are opposite. Matter is real, but...
Meaning? Meaning?
My... Art, eight type of prakriti, illusion,
right.
Like art,
prakriti,
sky,
right.
Yeah, like in Gita mentioned that, he's asking. Eight type of prakriti, illusion.
So earth, so types of matter,
art,
earth.
Water, air,
ether,
fire, like this, eight.
So that's matter, right?
Yeah.
Except these are the... These are what are described as matter. Now, are they existing? Because my question will be, if you say yes, then Guru Maharaj said everything is spiritual. Are these things spiritual? Earth, water, fire, air.
Are they spiritual souls, so yes.
Are they spiritual things?
Sure.
They are spiritual things. Then what is the difference between spirit and matter?
If matter is
spiritual, is it not spirit?
Maya is the form.
Is it not spirit?
Maya is form.
But is it not if matter is spiritual, you're saying that it's spirit, right? It's not different from spirit.
Right.
Okay. So if matter is spirit, then how is it matter? Huh? But not so much conceptually, something. But is matter a thing that exists? Earth, water, fire, are these things that exist? Are they, if we accept Guru Maharaj's statement that everything is conscious, everything is spirit,
existing,
is spiritual, are these things spirit? If they're spirit, they're not matter, are they? Doesn't matter describe something which is not spirit? Isn't that? Matter is a way to describe those things which are not spirit, isn't it? Am I wrong? Well, no. First, are we in agreement on that? What we describe as matter is to say that which is not spiritual is matter, isn't it?
No, we're illusion.
We're okay?
That which is not material is spiritual.
Huh?
Often people say material versus spiritual.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, if it's, how can it be both things simultaneously? How can it be non-spiritual and spiritual?
You know, it's subjective for your enjoyment.
Huh?
When you're making something for your enjoyment of material, and you offer it to the Guru, to Krishna,
it's... Okay. Yes, Prabhu? So it's not spiritual.
Well, if it's transient.
My illusionary energy.
If it's transient, it's Maya.
Okay, then there's my proof. There's my proof. So is there a thing which is not conscious? Does such a thing exist? And that thing is matter. Is that what matter is? No, it's not. Guru Maharaj said everything is consciousness. Then,
it's not if,
then matter it's must also be consciousness. If it's consciousness, then how does it matter? And what does it matter? Huh? No. Okay. So I.
The lower energy is still the Lord's energy, so it's still...
Could be, but my point is, so I'll try to explain myself. So my expression is, you cannot have both matter and Maya. That's my idea is, you cannot have matter and Maya. You can have one or the other. You take your pick, I don't care. But you can't have them both. Because, why? If there is such a thing as matter, then there's no illusion. Because what is Maya?
What is not. What is matter is what is, and Maya is what is not.
Oh, so matter is illusion.
Yes. And if matter is illusion, then it's not existing, right? There is an illusion that appears that the cause of that has an influence upon consciousness. There is a conscious, and this is the way Guru Maharaj describes this, that there is a conscious entity, a consciousness, which influences our consciousness to see something which is not there. Right? The hypnotist. Right? So that consciousness causes us to see an illusion. But if it's illusion, then it's non-existing. Then matter, there is no matter, because matter is some substance, some tangible thing. But there is no tangible thing, matter. There's only the illusion of it. But if you say that there is matter, okay, then there's no illusion. Because then that thing exists as a reality. If matter exists as a real substance, then there's no illusion involved. Right? So that's my point, something like that. And both things. So you can have matter or you can have Maya, but not both. That's all.
Because they're the same. Because
but
the same,
now,
right?
Now, who's going to argue with me?
Both.
Huh?
Can't have both because they're the same.
You can have one or the other. So, anyone disagree? Anyone argue with that point? It's accepted? My proof is accepted? Huh? Okay, you can have both matter and Maya. Huh? Well, misconception of a thing is not a thing.
I cannot touch misconception. This is some solid.
How do you know? What's your proof? Yeah, but that's imperfect. That's imperfect. If you're in misconception, then what you touch, feel, see must also be involved with misconception. Tiny
trust.
Why? Why should you trust misconception? It's deceiving you.
Oh.
You don't. I say you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to believe it, and you don't have to do it.
For sure, that's also true. Because that's the
only. Well, then don't say it is true. When you say I have to, I did, then you're affirming something which is not true. What is the rest of it? You're saying we are spiritual, we are jiva. What are the rest of the things you're describing? Are they different from you? Remember, you started out to prove that matter exists, right?
Can I just finish what I was saying? In answer to your
the soul is pure and is always pure and is never contaminated by anything. Okay, I'm going to try and disprove what I said now. If you allow me. I believe what I said. You cannot have matter and Maya at the same time. But I can prove the opposite also, that you can have them both at the same time.
Because they're concepts.
And anyone know how? It's very, very simple. It is at the very heart of our philosophy as Gaudiya Vaishnava. It's very simple. Huh? There, yes. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, right? Both things can exist simultaneously, the proof and the disproof. So what I said, I've proved it to my satisfaction. You cannot have matter and Maya at the same time. You cannot have both. You can have one or the other, but not both. But Mahaprabhu says, no, no, achintya bheda bheda tattva. You can have both things. So I would say, how can you have both? Because what is real is, Guru Maharaj is saying that everything is existing within consciousness. Everything is existing within consciousness. So it is the conception of matter is matter. Not matter is matter, but the conception, the spiritual conception of matter. Because it can be conceived by the highest conscious entities, can be conceived by them, then it must have some reality. Must have some place in reality. And the proof for that is what Guru Maharaj said about one of his god brothers had spoken with Saraswati Thakur about Jiva Dharma, the book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which ostensibly is a fiction, like a novel of fiction, right? That create the characters or characters that coming from the mind of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Srila Sridhara Maharaj said, whatever is existing within the mind of the pure devotee must have its basis in reality. So if the concept of matter can exist within the mind of the pure devotee, then it must have some basis in reality. I disprove what I said. Oh, we had a little fun today. Okay, any other any other question? Any question? Yes, for the.
I don't know if this fits into what you're saying or not, but like, I think I hear Swami Maharaj use the example, like the Mayavads, they say, because like you go into a dark, like a barn or somewhere, and you see a rope, and you're thinking it's a snake. You know, this example of, you know, it's an illusion. Like you're thinking it's a rope, or maybe it's a snake, or vice versa. But then it goes on to say that it doesn't mean that the snake or the rope doesn't exist. You know, because you're thinking it's something else, that's the illusion. But the fact that the snake does exist and the rope does exist. But it's like our seeing that thing for what it is, like that's the illusion. But it's not to say that those other things don't exist. But like you're seeing a mirage, and you're in the desert and you're seeing some water. And it's like your illusion is that you're thinking you're seeing water, but it's not that water doesn't exist.
Ooh, could you sit on this carpet and get this cushion to Paramahansa Maharaj?
Like, because the concept is that it's like the illusion of you're thinking it's coming from out of the water. Doesn't mean that water doesn't.
No, okay, okay. Yeah. Oh, he's sitting. Oh, yeah. You give only one.
One,
easy.
Something. You're answering a question or asking a question?
he's just disproving you as well.
I'm not clear. Is there a question?
Well, I was just wondering if this is kind of not like going along with what you're saying, because it's like this.
Is it a question?
Water,
but is it a question?
No.
Oh, okay. Is there any question? Excuse me, but our time is very short. Is there any question? Is this a question?
Yeah.
What is the question? The eye is producing the color. Exactly. Precisely. The illusion is that there is something outside of us, which is the object of our perception, whether it's touch, seeing, feeling, touching, tasting, etc., right? That there is some objective world. We are the subject, and we are the purveyors and the lookers and the feelers of this objective world. But so Guru Maharaj's point is, no, it is, don't believe that. It is not that. It is not like that at all. What you mistake to be the objective world is the world that you have created for yourself. Right? So then, I don't remember the steps. I should know it, but I don't. But there are 24 elements, right? The senses, the sense objects, I forget what they are. But so what you're talking about, it originates, the color does not originate out there someplace. Here is white and gray, brown, whatever. The illusion is that that's the reality, that there is a color there, and I'm seeing it, and I'm observing that thing, which is the object of my vision. So, but that belies the truth. That would be saying that the gross world, what is the most gross substance, is producing the most fine substance. That some gross thing, that some color, I'm looking for some distinct color. The tree, the color of the tree, that green there in the leaves, that is causing us to see green. Right? So Guru Maharaj's point is, no, it's not that there's the green leaf there causing us to see green. At first is the conception of, before you can have any of that, is the conception of the color green. That comes first. And the conception of the color green, working through the mind, working through the senses, working through I forget all the terms, but the color green has already been produced. It's within us. It's within our consciousness. It's not outside of us. It's already been produced. It's already with us. We're already familiar with it. We already know about it. And now we are projecting outwardly. Not that something outward is projecting towards us, but we are projecting that onto something. It's like a palette of colors or something. You know, the world is like a movie or something. But we are making that movie ourselves, something like that. So that idea, what you said, the world is in the mind. So that is not 100% the whole thing, but that's very close to what we're talking about. That, for instance, to give an example, try to illustrate this a little bit. It's very common today for people to see a young boy, a young girl, and say, "Oh, you look so much like your father. I can see that you are the child of your father or your mother," right? Something like that. And then what is commonly accepted is, why? Why you look so much like your mother or your father? Oh, the genes, there are some chromosomes, some DNA, etc., and that has caused this all to happen. That's the reason for it. And if you have everything has, every living thing has two parents, a mother and a father, and that DNA mixes, and then it produces a new DNA as a result of that mixture. But elements from both are seen in the new thing, right? The new creature. So that's the common idea, is that that's the reason I look this way. Everyone looks some particular way. Oh, because my mother, my father, they were this. Wrong. It's not like that. The reason is it goes back to this same idea. It's not that so much that my mother and father have chosen me, but that I have chosen my mother and father. My activities in my previous life, because of those activities, because of my karma, now I have to be assembled by a certain mother and father. It's destined that I will take birth from a certain mother and father. It's not destined that they will produce me. It's destined that I will come to them. Of course, there's also something to the other side. Because of their karma, they will have some rascal like me for their child, right? And they will have to deal with that. That's their problem. but really the origin is not the gene pool. That's the point. It's not the gene pool. It's the karmic pool. It's the pool of karma that has produced it, not this other objective material thing, DNA, RNA, ribonucleic, like something acid, da da da. No, it's not that. That is the illusion. No, the real thing is, here's a jiva. He behaved in a particular way in his last life. Now the result of that will have to come in this life. Here are two other jivas. They also have some particular karma which they have to go through. This will be their child, Yamaraj. Someone like that is deciding all of this, and there's the result. So nothing is, the world is not producing anything. The world is not producing anything. We are producing the world that we will see, that we will hear, that we will touch, feel, taste, all of these things. It's come from us. It's our responsibility. So like Shama Sundar, I think he had to go someplace. His question, if there is a good God, why are we suffering? This is the answer to that question. We produced it for ourselves. God didn't tell us, I don't want you in Goloka. He didn't say that to us. I don't want you in Vaikuntha. He didn't say it, never. He's saying, come to me, right? Search for the Lord's loving search for the lost. He's, come. No. I want to go this other place. I did it. And everything from that moment forward is I. It's all me. I did it. I'm the responsible party. God doesn't want it for me. I don't want him. This is the result. And then all these other things. Then there has to be some way for that transaction to go forward. Oh, I choose not to be a servant. I choose not to serve the Lord and his devotees. I choose a different life. Okay. I'm not going to make you. Your freedom is there. And with that freedom, the responsibility for your actions. I give you full freedom. As you like, you can do. But you are responsible now for yourself. Oh, okay. So I'm seeing the green, and I'm seeing the this and the that. And if you didn't see it here, you would see something like that in your mind. In the mental, the mental realm, the intellectual realm, all these things, why are they existing in all these phases of mundanity? They're there with the hunkara from the beginning. So there's the original ego, the jiva, pure ego, then a hunkara. So with the original ego, all is there because that ego is also a sentient being capable of seeing everything that the Lord wants him to see, the spiritual thing. The spiritual vision is there with him. And he said, I close my eyes to that. I close my spiritual eyes to that. That's why, Om Agyanata Marandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya. Why? Oh, he is now open again. He's opening. And what he's opening? This? No, not this. That awakening that consciousness. What am I really? What is really the cause of all of this? God has caused it for me. I have caused it for myself. What is my duty? It's all with me. Now I awaken to that. My eyes are open. Let me serve Guru Guru. Then all will be clear. Then no more this idea of the illusory world, no longer any attachment for that. I need nothing here, like Krishna Sundar was talking about the obvious or the seeming obvious. If I don't feed myself, I'll die. No, you won't die. You don't have to give yourself one drop of anything. You won't die. You will continue without it. It's all the illusion, working. Believe me. You will die. You will die if you don't do this, if you don't do that. You will suffer if you don't find a covering for your bed, you know, a blanket, all these things. No. I'm not suffering because I don't have a blanket. I'm suffering because my consciousness, I'm behaving foolishly. That's why I'm suffering. And when I stop that, the choice is always there. Immediately, one can choose in one moment, or we may choose to drag it out for lifetimes and lifetimes. But in one moment, I surrender, I give myself fully to the Lord and His service, or I maintain some independence. I want to continue to try and go my own way. And whatever part is my own way, then it will continue, the duration continues. But in a moment, one can say, no longer. What my master directs, that is my life and soul, and I have nothing else. I don't care. If that means seeming so-called death, I accept it. But the more difficult, that's the easy thing. That's why we have these suicide bombers, you know, these people blowing themselves up and all kinds of things. If it was really so difficult, you know, how do they get so many recruits? No, that's nothing. And Mahaprabhu said it. Oh, I will gladly give up life after life to get the lotus feet of the Lord. To get shelter of the lotus. That is nothing. To give one body, another body, nothing. But the mentality to enjoy the body, that is very difficult to leave. That I need this body for my enjoyment. That I want to enjoy the things of this illusory world. That is very difficult. And the only way to become free from that is to serve the lotus feet of Guru Gauranga without any self-interest. Only that idea that Guru Maharaj explained, all risk, no gain. Only that will give us what we want. Then we will die as we are, but we will never die. We will live in a world which we cannot conceive the beauty of that world. We're running a little long, so we'll stop there. Jai Sparikar, Sri Sri Guru Granga, Sri Sri Gandharva, Govinda Sundara, Ju Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Parivajakacharya, Varya, Ashto Tarasata, Sri Sri Mad, Shri Bhakti Sundara, Govinda Dev, Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Nitalila, Vishnu Om, Paramahansa, Parivajakacharya, Varya, Shri Bhakti Rakak, Shri Dev, Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande, Ki Jai.